Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, I thought the Blog Talk radio lady wasn't going to say anything. I was like, oh, great. We're going to start the episode with technical difficulties. But it wouldn't be a 16-bit Assassins episode if we didn't at some point have technical difficulties during a show. Ladies and gents, welcome to another toothless episode of the 16-bit Assassins podcast. I'm your host, Toaster.
Did you say toothless? Are you jabbing at me?
Did I say toothless?
I feel like you did.
I am.
You asked?
I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, who may or may have not been butchered by a dental hygienist this morning. Jen.
This afternoon. It wasn't even this morning. Like, I'm still on it. But although I do have to give
still
them
on
credit.
It.
I have to give them credit. The efficiency that this dentist has, like, literally. So, I got 3 teeth pulled because the way my jaw lines up, they don't do anything. Like, they're in no use in the way I eat. Like, they're just kind of in my mouth.
They're just freeloading.
Yeah, basically. And they were cracked. So I was like, just pull them out. There's no point in spending the extra money to save them when they're not actually doing anything in my mouth. So I set up the appointment and all that. I actually thought it was supposed to be a root canal today, but that's another day, I guess. And my appointment was supposed to be for 3. I ended up getting there early, so they took me at 2:30. I was done by like 2:58. Like, literally, I go in, I sit down, they numb me up, and then it's like, pop, pop, pop. Okay, you're done.
Like taking the bolt off of a tire.
Like, seriously. It's taken longer to change a tire to have 3 teeth extracted. I was like, wait, what? And then, so the way that they got, this is all like, no one wants to know this information, but it doesn't matter. My bottom left tooth in the back. Bottom right and top right. So I have Novocaine all over my mouth. It's gone now, which is why I can talk. But yeah. So I had to go to Walmart.
And you don't sound like Bill Cosby trying to dose a woman.
Yes. I go to Walmart to get my prescription filled for the crazy, insane painkiller thing that they gave me, which after reading the side effects, I don't want to take. I'm going to deal with the pain. But so I give it to them. I can't talk. Like, I'm trying not to drool all over the place. And they're asking me questions. And I'm like, really? The lower half of my mouth is swollen and I'm handing you pain medication. You want me to talk? Can you give me a piece of paper? Like, seriously, people?
They were trying to make sure you weren't going to distill the pain pills into meth.
Oh, my God. Or they're
something.
Like, oh, are you going to be picking it up today? Damn right I'm going to be picking it up today. Seriously? Oh, yeah. And it was a new person there, and needless to say, I don't need your comments about me being toothless, because that's where this whole thing started. Carry on.
Well, now that the dental segment of our show is open.
I should have added that as Carry On My Wayward Son, so we could have that little Supernatural reference that we always do, but yeah.
So we have a exciting show lined up for you this evening. It's going to be an emotional roller coaster, because that's what my day was today. Thanks, Bethesda. So, was it yesterday, I think? Bethesda took to the airwaves in their streaming service and put up the traditional stay tuned placeholder card with the Pip-Boy guy just kind of hanging out. Laying there, and apparently 2 million people, I heard at some point, tuned in to watch this Pip-Boy doll sleep.
Wow, that many?
Yeah, y'all need to get a hobby.
Seriously.
But yeah, so I was really excited. A lot of people I know were very excited about this. Because it's, you know, we were like, oh, a new Fallout game. Like, we haven't heard anything from Bethesda other than they're going to be at E3. Wait, there's the Rage 2 sequel. But other than that, things have been pretty mum over at Bethesda Studios. And so I was really stoked today when I saw the trailer for Fallout 76. And yeah, I was very excited because I was like, cool, another Fallout. You know, this isn't a remaster. And if you want to give us a call and chime in about your feelings on Bethesda's betrayal, you can reach us at 646-668-2390. Or, you know, you can call me and tell us how you think it's going to work.
Oh, the deepest of the sighs.
Yeah. So the trailer itself, you know, kind of it shows off a location which seemed to be West Virginia, judging by the plaques and everything that were shown in the video. Also, the speeches and things that were being said in the background, you know, led a lot of people to believe that the game is going to take place about 20 years after the war, and that Vault 76 is like one of the first vaults that kind of opens, and it's actually mentioned throughout other Fallout games. So Vault 76 plays a big part of the story, and you know, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, yeah, it's going to be cool. And then Kotaku, of all websites, drops the bombshell that according to inside sources at Bethesda, who are remaining anonymous so they don't lose their jobs, Fallout 76 is going to be more a online survival RPG a la DayZ or Rust. There was mention of possible Battle Royale. I'm really pissed off about this.
I'm just waiting for a dragon to show up and you can like teleport to Skyrim.
you can play Skyrim and all the Pip-Boys.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Or it's a text adventure on one of the Robco terminals. But yeah, like I'm really genuinely pissed off about this. Like I just kind of feel like I expected more out of Bethesda, you know, like they've always been great at these wholly immersive, massive single player campaign video games. I mean, look at all of the Elder Scrolls, Fallout 3, Fallout 4, Fallout New Vegas. And even, you know, Fallout 2 and the games previous to that were single player experiences. A lot of people have defended this with saying, well, you know, Elder Scrolls Online has done so well. And, like, it's not my thing. And I think people expecting Bethesda to be able to pull off a Battle Royale-style game, just they're not really in on things. You know, like, I think part of the popularity with Fortnite is it's so colorful and fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's goofy. You know, even the character models look goofy, even though you're shooting each other in the face.
Yeah.
But, like, there's this lightheartedness to it. But that doesn't do lighthearted.
And, okay, by the time it comes out, which is probably going to be not that long, because I'm sure they've been working on it since, you know, Fortnite made tons of money and PUBG made tons of money. So it probably is going to come out sometime this year or whatever. But
surprise,
how much of a market is it going to pick up? You already, the people who play these games aren't necessarily looking for another one. They invest in what they're playing. To me, it's not really a game. Like, okay, you have an RPG game, you know, in that genre. You can jump from one to another, fine and dandy. But I feel like in the Battle Royale, like you invest yourself in that title.
Yeah.
Because it keeps going and you have like those people that you play against.
And you know, it falls in line with those people that are all about just purchasing skins and different models for their guns and customization and stuff like that. And I don't know, like these games to me have always been single player games.
Right.
We have a caller.
Oh.
Oh boy, this could go south really quick.
It usually does.
Hello, caller. You were on the air with the 16-bit assassins. How you doing?
Now, you should know, talking about Fallout, you should know that I was going to call in. No answer, but bro.
I was actually hoping.
I didn't even think you were listening, but okay. Well,
I always listen to the 16-bit assassins every time y'all go live. My bro.
Oh, so
Fallout
you got to, so
online.
You got to listen to the episodes when I wasn't here and Toaster was just rambling. Darn it.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. It's so crazy, man.
Yeah.
It is.
So, for those of you listening and playing in the home game, this is Celeb. We need to introduce you, man. From the Second Opinion podcast. And who else? You're with Cineflex now, too, aren't you?
Yeah, with Cinelinks. Cinelinks.com and Second Opinion. We just got a pretty good partnership and stuff. And everything's going really good, man. It's working out really well, and I'm pretty excited about the future and all that other stuff. Everything's working really well, man. So, but Fallout, man. I don't know. So, like what you said, it was a surprise to everybody, and everyone knew, they knew a new Fallout was possibly coming because of the Walmart Canada leak. But the craziest thing about it was everyone thought it was going to be, a remastered Fallout 3. Like,
yeah, that's what I would.
Everybody and their mother.
I would take that. I would take that over there.
Well, I could totally understand that because I think everybody's tired of remasters. And I actually thought, particularly me, I thought it was going to be.
I will not be tired
of
remasters until I get Mass Effect remastered.
Mass Effect 1 remastered.
I will never be tired of remasters until I get that. Then they can stop, but I want that first.
BioWare, you owe us that because of Andromeda.
So I totally agree. I think it was mainly, I was excited. I was thinking that they were going to port over Fallout 4, and they were going to announce Fallout Shelter 2, a new type of Fallout Shelter and everything else. But, Fallout 76, it's crazy because, if it is what Kotaku said that it is, if it is an online RPG style game, kind of like DayZ, I think it has potential, but at the same time, it's kind of that game you don't want to see messed up because Fallout 76 had so much lore around it. Like, it was one of those vaults in the game. You heard about it in Fallout 3, you heard about it in Fallout 4, and it was a pretty crazy. Backstory to that vault. So the fact that literally, basing an entire title on Vault 76 and either its inception or it being a pre-war vault and that leads directly into the vault aspect that right after the war started. I think it has potential, but If it's gonna be what ESO is, I'm a little worried. You know what I'm saying?
That's the thing.
God.
A lot of people have countered my argument of this being a single player game with ESO, and
yeah,
I gave ESO 5 different shots.
Yeah.
I even went back to ESO after I finished God of War because I was so depressed that I had no more God of War to play that I was just I don't know what to do with myself right now. That's the other thing I brought up to this person too is everybody's so scared of making a single player game.
Yeah.
You can't call the genre dead when you look at Assassin's Creed Origins. That's a great fucking game. Same thing with Shadows of War. And Shadows of War is a great game. God of War,
yeah.
Holy crap, that game was amazing.
Yeah.
And
I was just going to say, this is one of the things that I think. What? Oh, sorry. My wife just called me an idiot, every day. I was going to say that, Bethesda is one of those studios that actually kind of wants to save
the single player genre. You know, they want to have more single player games. They came out against EA when EA had stated those, you know, the stupid remarks of saying, you know, well, you know, that's kind of over and done with, you know, single player experiences. We all know that's a stupid remark. We all know that single player games are here to stay for quite some time. And I think if Fallout 76 is a single player game that has co-op ability, it would be phenomenal. Like if they give you the ability to have a single player game and have like up from one to like four players, you know, in a game at one time, like four player co-op mode and stuff, that would be amazing. I think it would be phenomenal. Yeah. You and me talked about this whenever you used to be on the podcast before, Jeremy, of it would be awesome before ESO was even announced. It would be awesome if they had like an Elder Scrolls games tour where you can do co-op online with just like one other person, you know, but I don't know, man, you know, I agree with you. I think that there's a possibility that, you know, it could be a total letdown, but it's also the fact that, you know, all of us, I don't care who says what, everybody's on that, you know, Elder Scrolls hype train. They want them to announce Elder
Scrolls
6.
I don't think it's
going to
be a letdown per se.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't be let down if you don't get it.
This is true.
I just don't see. I don't know. I don't even know how to word my feelings towards this right now.
Like the thing is, though, is like, yeah, I did at one point think, oh wow, if I could co-op Skyrim with Celeb, that'd be awesome. Or
yeah,
if I could
awesome.
Co-op Skyrim with Skelly and make him understand why this game is awesome, that'd be great.
Yeah.
But then I played
ESO.
Yeah. And I was like, who are all these other whack jobs in my Skyrim?
Yeah. Well, see, that was the
and
problem
like,
with
this
me,
thing,
dude.
Like,
I'm sorry. I keep on forgetting ahead. how blog talk you – like, I don't want to end up cutting y'all off or nothing. It's – you know, I agree with you, bro. Like, whenever I played – when I played ESO in, like, its pre-alpha stage at QuakeCon, me and Darren played it for, like, 2 hours, and it was, like, local – there was only like four or five people that you faced off against at that time. And I was like, this is great. This is awesome. I love this. I think it's fantastic. But then they had an aspect to where everybody was running around at the same time. And, you know, me and Dara both, we got Elder Scrolls Online when it first came out and we expected something and we didn't get what we kind of expected. So, you know, I really don't think that this game is going to be like ESO. The reason why is because this is coming directly from Bethesda Game Studio and Todd Howard is like leading the helm on this from what is being said.
Yeah, but still, I mean,
I think there's a few
home,
other companies that are helping, but
I come home from work and if I plug in like Fallout or Skyrim,
yeah,
you know, or Morrowind now, which is even more open, just go out and do stuff. But like I just want to relax and explore. Like there's so much more that they could have done, which is to single, like you could have done Fallout Alaska.
Totally.
No, seriously,
bro.
Because
oh yeah,
no, because that
there's so
like
much to do. There's so much
lore
to do with the Fallout lore. It's just like with Elder Scrolls, dude. You know, when ESO was officially announced, you guys know me. I'm a big Bethesda guy. I love everything about Bethesda. But you know, when ESO was announced, yeah, I was let down by ESO because I was like, dang, that's really not what I was looking for. You know, but you think about it, and I really, really do think that this is not going to be the type of game that everybody's expecting. Everybody is already, I see it online, I've seen it since this morning. Everybody is already saying, you know, oh, well, this is going to be like ESO. This is going to be like ESO. I think it's going to be a little different, and I hope it's going to be a little different. You know, I don't know exactly what is going to be shown off at E3, but, you know, we can only hope it's not what we think it's going to be.
From my viewpoint, man, they got to come out swinging and swinging hard because I've already got – I mean, like, you know – I understand the idea behind co-op. It's a lot of fun, but it takes a certain style of game. Like you look at Borderlands, everybody loved Borderlands. You look at Diablo 3 with the couch co-op. You look at World of Warcraft.
Yeah,
you look at these hugely popular multiplayer online games or just online co-op games, and they all have one thing in common. They have a very bright color palette.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
They're almost cartoony, you know? Like, World of Warcraft definitely has, like, a cheesy, almost anime feel to it. And then Diablo has, like, the hardcore, you know, like, bright color, you know? And Borderlands is just freaking Borderlands, for Christ's sake. You know, and I think somehow that kind of stylized graphic in games, like, you know, helps. And I think that's going to be missing from, like, a Fallout title. Like, even ESO, they didn't make the characters look cartoony. You know, they made them all look, like, serious and stuff. And it's, I don't know. I mean,
we really don't have much to go on. We saw it in the trailer that it did seem a little bit brighter. And it was a little confusing, too, because, like, we don't know at this time. Obviously, we don't have a lot of information on it. We don't know if this is, like, actual full-on pre-war or what. But then also the music threw me off, bro. Like, Fallout 3 was post-war, and all the music that was playable and everything, it was all this 1930s, 1940s music. And then in this trailer, it's like Blue Ridge Mountain playing. You know what I'm saying? I'm like,
stuff
what is going
from
on,
Danny
bro? Kay. I'm like, what is going on? So...
There's
I don't know. Like, I hope that it's good. You know, I hope that you and me and even Jen are all, you know, completely shocked by it. You know, because they do have things. They do have a couple of things to fall back on. You know, Rage 2 is coming out, and a lot of people said with that, you know, they were like, why would they bring out Rage 2? You know, with the fact that Avalanche Studios is doing the co-developing of that game, you know, they're Mad Max is amazing. I love the game. You know, I'm finally actually playing through it now, doing the live streams and stuff like that, and I love it. To know that it's going to have that mixture of, like, a first-person and open-world aspect, I think it's going to be great. But they also added in, like what you were saying, these extreme, like, poppy, over-the-top colors, this crazy aspect to it. Like, in the trailers, everything was, like, really high-octane. You know, there's a like what you said, there's a lot of times now that these battle royale open world games, the ones that are actually really popular, like, you know, Fortnite, it's something that'll catch someone's eye and not get sleepy while you're playing it. So I totally agree with you guys. I know I've been rambling. So
it's a topic worth rambling.
Yeah.
It's pretty serious. Because so far everything I've looked at from
E3, it's very serious because we're touching on the hot topics here.
I looked at the IGN's list of like expected games at E3, and I was just kind of like, man, you know, like I know CD Projekt Red is showing off an RPG that they've never told anybody about, Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah.
but like that,
there's
you know,
a good
that's, like,
a
I was really looking forward
show.
To Bethesda because I'm like Elder Scrolls 6 or well, a new Fallout, not that way.
I told Matt Quadsi from Cinelinks, you know, we were talking about, like, we were trying to lay out our schedule, you know, what we had planned on doing first and all that when we get there. And I told him, you know, he's talking about Bethesda. He's like, bro, I'm telling you, man, I'm so excited. I hope whenever we get there, they show off a new Elder Scrolls. I'm like, I just don't go ahead and get your hopes down, bro. I got a feeling, man. I really got a feeling it ain't going to happen. I really don't think. In my honest opinion, I don't think we're going to see another Elder Scrolls until, like, 2020. Because you got to think, bro, like, they're, you know, Xbox One X, like, I hope Microsoft comes out swinging at E3. They have a lot to prove. Their press conference is going to be 2 hours long. So hopefully they come out and they say, you know, exclusive after exclusive after exclusive because, you know, they really have a lot of mileage to kind of make up. But – with this
I doubt
aspect,
it. I don't see them. I don't.
What
see
if
them
they come out,
anything.
Jen, and say Mass Effect Remaster exclusively
it's not
on
happen.
Xbox One?
Exclusive. It's like, hey, it'll pop up.
Please.
It's like Xbox exclusive. You're like, oh no.
Wait. Think about it, because the original Mass Effect was an Xbox exclusive.
That is true.
It was.
Back
but you know,
when
we
BioWare
talked about
was
this
a...
too on the Second Opinion podcast, saying that. I'll tell you right now, bro, like, you guys know, I'm a way bigger PlayStation fan than I am Xbox fan. But if they come out, like, because Valve is supposedly working on a secret title as well, and they haven't really talked about it too much, I'm going to tell you right now, you have me on audio, if Valve comes out, and not even Half-Life, bro, if Valve comes out and says Left 4 Dead 3 coming to Xbox One, I will go buy an Xbox tomorrow. Like, I will buy it. No offense or buts. Hands down, I will get it. If they're like, it's an exclusive, I'm like, I'm getting it.
My Xbox actually sits as a stand for my PlayStation 4.
It's so crazy. Is it not crazy? I mean, we talked about this, too, on Cinelink's show, The Road to E3, is saying how they switched. I mean, it was such a big switch from, like, you know, PlayStation 3 and Xbox. Xbox 360 dominated Sony during that genre. And now, you know, you have the PS4 that sold a total of, in the physical 2017 season, sold 76.4 million consoles compared to Xbox only selling 29 million. So, I mean, that's a really big difference. And it's just crazy.
I can tell you the use that I get out of my Xbox One right now. I downloaded Sky Commander, which is a lot of fun. it's like a beefed up version of 1942. Seriously, it's like crack. You can't stop playing it.
Really?
yeah, dude, it's just a lot of fun. But also, for me, it's been the backwards compatibility.
Yeah.
I mean, I got Elder Scrolls Morrowind. I got Knights of the Old Republic, Knights of the Old Republic 2, SSX 3. You know, like, is it enough to you know, switch me back to an Xbox? No, I'm on PlayStation 4 and this generation. I went through two of them. I went through the Destiny bundle and the Arkham bundle.
Oh, jeez. I forgot about that. I thought I have my Batman one. I never played the game, but I have my Batman PlayStation. The game is still in its plastic wrapping.
That game's good.
Yeah.
It's a good Batman game.
Oh. But anyways, I love you guys very much. I hope to talk to you very soon. My wife has walked in here like three times. She's like, are we cooking dinner or not? I got to get out there.
You can play with your friends on the internet later.
You can do this later. But anyways, you know, while I'm there, while I'm at E3 this year, if y'all are doing a podcast or something like that, on what days do y'all usually do it?
Wednesday. Yeah.
Okay, well, I think I'll be flying, what month is it? Where am I? Okay, well, okay, so Wednesday I'll have a lot of, like, it'll be kind of like my last day there because we're flying, like, I'm flying back on the 14th. But Wednesday, whenever y'all are doing it, if y'all message me, I would love to come on and talk to you guys for a couple of minutes about it if y'all would allow it. So,
that's a
but anyways,
we don't even need to answer, dude. Of course, you're welcome.
but anyways, guys, y'all are awesome, and I will talk to y'all soon.
All right,
bye bye.
Bye. Peace out, guys.
Later. That was Celeb, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for calling in and talking some Fallout with us. You can check him out on Cinelinks and the Second Opinion podcast as well. But yeah, I think we've pretty much done to Fallout 76 what Bethesda's planning to do to the Battle Royale genre. Involves a dead horse and a stick.
Yeah.
But in other exciting news, so it seems like every time there's something like stupid and tragic that happens, some idiot makes a game about it. Did you hear about this active shooter game?
Unfortunately, yes. I actually heard about it before you even sent me the information. I just was like, no. Scrolling through it, keep going. Can't be bothered.
I was really trying to ignore it too, because I was like, really? This is just why? Why would you do it? So basically, the game allows you the choice to be the active shooter in an active shooter situation on a school campus, or a member of the SWAT team. Because, you know, that's a real good way to win over the violence in video games is causing school shootings crowd. Like,
stupid people.
So the original explanation of it was a dynamic SWAT simulator in which dynamic roles are offered to players. In the game, you can play as the shooter or a SWAT team member or a civilian. Which, okay. But, you know, obviously there were some people that were very, very angry about this. And they took to Steam to ask them about it. And Steam removed it, thankfully. And ordinarily that would be the end of the game or the end of the conversation. But apparently this is a game that's been developed by a dude that has a pattern of making games like this. The person was calling themselves Eta Berdiev. He was previously removed when he was operating as a studio called Interactive and then as a studio called Elusive Team. He was called a troll with a history of customer abuse, publishing copyrighted material, and user review manipulation. And this was identified during their investigation into the person behind Active Shooter.
He sounds like a whole bunch of fun. Let's get more games from him.
Why would you make a game like that? Like, and it sucks. Like, the whole reason I was ignoring it for so long is because you do that and you get, like, publicity and, like, upvotes or something. I don't know. Like, why did you put all the effort into making this game? Did you expect it to sell well? Like, what would you think the outcome would have been?
I don't think there was any sort of thought process behind it. I think it was a, hey, I can do this. And I can cause drama, and I can get my name out there, because people will be talking about it, because it's a stupid idea. And if it goes through, I can make money off of it, because people will play it, because people also suck.
Oh, yeah, there was a bunch of backlash that apparently Valve got hit with for pulling the game down, because, I don't know, people. Way to go, Internet. It's just wrong. I mean, you know, I don't know. Like, I read this kind of stuff, and I'm just like, why?
Yeah.
You have nothing but, like, why can't you make a game about drinking soda?
We have a game about drinking soda.
I know, right? I mean, there's millions of other things that you can make a video game about and have it sell well and be popular or have a cult following or, you know, generally make you a respected member of the gaming community with maybe some fans that aren't crazy.
Yeah, no.
And, so, just don't read the comments in that article because most of the critiquing is about the graphics in the game and not the actual fact that the game is made about shooting
up ice. Wait,
so,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Oh, let's face it, looks like most half-assed Steam games. Somebody else was like, oh, well, if this developer wasn't such an asshat, would this have happened? Because there's plenty of games about shooting innocent people online and blah, 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 blah.
Wow.
Yeah. I honestly think that's where things started going south. The minute other people could comment on other stuff that other people wrote, we were just done as a society.
Yeah.
Like Shakespeare would have been, he probably would kill himself. I don't know where that came from. But yeah, so if you were looking forward to Active Shooter, unfortunately you can't get it on Valve anymore. Speaking of Steam, I was lucky because the backer codes haven't gone out for console yet. To get a temporary Steam code for Bloodstained Cursed of the Moon, which, if anybody wasn't paying attention, is the 8-bit sidecar to Bloodstained Ritual of the Night. I cannot wait till it comes out. But I was playing, I was actually playing it for a little bit before the podcast, and if you like Castlevania, like the original Castlevania, you have to go get this game. It's actually out on Steam now, PlayStation 4, Switch, and Xbox One, I think.
Maybe.
I sent Jen, Send Jen a picture of me playing it because I couldn't figure out how to stream it on my laptop. No, I used to have like this built-in software package, but when I rebuilt my laptop, I lost.
You did not rebuild the software package?
No. It was like part of the whole bloatware thing with Asus. But it's available on console, just backers didn't get their code. So, but yeah, I'm having some fun with it. I suggest you go pick it up too, if you haven't yet. yeah.
Don't die on me.
I'm not dying. I just this conversation is ridiculous. So the makers of PUBG apparently filed a lawsuit against the makers of Fortnite back in like January, I think.
Yeah.
And we're just kind of finding out about it now. They're basically suing them for to protect their copyright. They're claiming copyright infringement.
Because why not?
But, you know, how really smart is it using or suing the company that you're purchasing your engine from? Like, I read that little tidbit and I was like, wow.
Oh,
like, I get it if they 100% ripped off your game. That's cool. Like, if they pixel for pixel. But you can't sue a company for making a game on a genre.
They can sure as hell try, though.
Like, seriously, if that was the case, like, we would not have any of the Elder Scrolls games. And TSR would not have become Wizards of the Coast. Because TSR would have sued the silly pants off at everybody trying to make a role-playing game after Gary Gygax's Dungeons & Dragons.
Yep.
Hell, the fight between Gary Gygax and Ken St. Andre would have been like one for the ages. Tunnels and Trolls versus Dungeons & Dragons.
Wow.
But they're not, because you can't sue a genre.
Try as hard as you might, it can't be done.
And it's like, you know, the assets, like the character models are different. The very graphics of the game are different. Like, the guns are different. And again, you can't sue somebody for a genre.
We will come back to that because that is very important.
Like the underlying key. Like, if I was a lawyer in that thing, I would look at the other lawyer and go, well, I'm going to sue you for being a lawyer when I'm already a lawyer. And then also, you know, doing the company whose engine that you're currently licensing. Well, you want to sue us? Well, I see your support contract for the Epic Unreal Engine is coming up. Would you like to renegotiate your terms? So, that's going to be our show tonight, folks. So that way Jen can take her pain medication and drift off to happy, happy sleepland.
Until it then kicks in again. It's like, pain! It's not even that bad. It's just that annoying ache of the fact that there were, you know, teeth ripped from your jaw. But yeah, I didn't eat pudding.
Is it tapioca?
No. God damn it.
All right. That is going to be our show for the evening, folks. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at 16-Bit Assassins. Like us on Facebook, the 16-Bit Assassins Podcast. And stay tuned, because who knows? You might be able to find us on other websites. But thanks for listening. Tune in next Wednesday. We'll talk to you soon. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.